The Tale of Two Cities, of course, is a book famous for many, many years. I think that I last read it entirely through in Hong Kong. Up on top of the mountain there at Matilda Hospital, I read shelf after shelf with the same author. The Tale of Two Cities lived in my mind. But I'm thinking of two other cities in the Word of God, heaven and hell. In commenting upon authors and what we've read, it's a good thing to be sure that we have really read. And this morning I taught men's Bible class for a little while, and I found that some knew their Bibles well and others really did not know it well. Reminds me of a young man who talked to his young lady some time ago, and oh, she was trying to please him so much she found he loved reading, and he wasn't very much up on her authors. But he said, oh, are you fond of literature? She said, passionately fond of it. He said, well, then you admire Walter Scott. Don't you love The Lady of the Lake? The lovely flowing grace and the imagery of it. Oh, she said, I've read it dozens of times. She began to be a little bit suspicious. She said, then you've read Scott's Emulsion, too? Said, oh, yes, I think it's the best thing he ever wrote. Oh, I love Scott's Emulsion. So, tonight, don't you say so unless you really have read and given your heart to the Lord. Our text, a well-known one. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction. A few there be that find it, because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Strange, is it not? But a world gone awry. A world groping like blind men at noon to wonder how to stop a war, how to steady stocks and bonds, how to continue peaceful negotiations. We'll try everything but the one thing the Bible says, the Prince of Peace himself. I have been pleased that the president of our great nation and different of his aides have said that what this country needs more than anything else is returned back to the old-time revival and the faith of our fathers. Let's thank God for that kind of a government that believes in the Bible. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, for you cannot serve God and mammon. Out of the pages of God's Word, I have chosen just two men. One to represent a sinner, another to represent the believer. And then portraying the end of each. First, will you consider one man who represents to me, as I list the catalog figures over for a moment, the Bible, Pontius Pilate. In Jerusalem, a rather well-fed, suave politician, not too well in favor with Caesar, anxious for his political standing and career. He had heard of Christ, for indeed who had not heard of him? His wife brought him the word. He said, husband, I have something to tell you. I've had a strange dream this night. In it I saw the Son of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And oh, I hear the mob outside now saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate, you're going to have to go up there and take your seat on the judge's bench. I pray you have nothing to do with the death of this just man. There's not very many railroad magnates or policemen or firemen or railroad men or sailors or anyone else in this world that hasn't had someone talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if they don't get to church, somehow the church gets to them. Even Pilate had a wife who came and asked him that he be careful in his weighty deliberations concerning Jesus. You, Mr. Man, a business, you stop to think of your insurance, of your income. You read the ticket of what's to be voted upon on the balloting day. You're interested in world affairs. You're a reasonable, sane, balanced man in your mind. And yet, how peculiar, that the one thing that's all important, our soul salvation, we have not made sure of. And as Christ puts it so aptly, what would we gain if we gained the whole world and lose our own soul? Amen. Lord, help us to find Jesus as our Savior and acclaim him tonight. Well, The ultimate happened. Christ was brought before Pilate. And Pilate said, there's nothing against this man. And he said more than that. He went a step further. He said, he's a just man. He's a good man. I have no reason for accusation. He went another step and he said, I find no fault in him at all. Brother, that's probably your position. Oh, I believe in Christianity. Go to it, Sister MacPherson. Think it's wonderful how you feed and clothe all those people. Send missionaries, go ahead. That's your work, brother. Christ is on trial before you. Pilate, you know, steps aside. He opened the curtain and he said, behold, I bring him forth unto you. Oh, I wish I could do that tonight. But Christ just stood there like a lamb and waited for their decision. Neutral you cannot be. And finally, when the brute element of the mob was incensed to a furious state and Pilate began to be concerned, he said, well, we'll whip him. Maybe that'll do. But no, they wanted him to be delivered to them. Finally, he took the coward's way out. He said, all right, if you want to have him slain, all right, but bring me a basin first. I'm going to wash my hands of the blood of this man. Brother, no water on earth can ever wash your hands of the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He is the Savior of the world. We, every man and woman, boy and girl, who has reached the age of understanding, must decide for or against Jesus Christ. Pilate said, his blood I wash from my hands. Water! Slave, water! And while the multitude milled about, he said, see to it! See to it! His blood is on your head, not on mine! Oh, Pilate, did think that by so simple an advice as washing the hands in a basin, that sins could be taken away mentally, morally, spiritually, in every way. You, my brother, are faced with a point-blank question. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate was recalled and put out of office 3 years later. What did the whole thing gain him? And he is supposed to have died by suicide, victim of his own hand. And if we could lift up the gates of Hades tonight, look in upon him, we'd see him there still washing his hands. That can't get it off! It won't come off! The fire cannot take it off! Brother, there's just one place, and that's the foot of the cross, praise the Lord, where everything is made different and a transformation takes place in our lives. You know, Pilate had a real chance to stand up for Christ, leave his name forever on the memories of the people. Ooh, wouldn't you love that chance? Why, all the preachers and all the years and all of the children of blessed that say, there's a man for you. I want to be like him. For there's a woman. But Pilate shook. And he said, no, I want to be friends with Caesar and I with Agrippa. I want to be a friend, a political master, standing. I can't come to a decision right now. Now you settle it. Now I'm out of the thing. Now you understand. Jellyfish. Why didn't he walk straight up there and say, all right, you've gone over my opinion. In my opinion, he is a just man and he is the Son of God. I take my stand by him. And before you can take Christ, take me too. I give my life with him. I believe in the Son of God. My friends, all the ages would have rung bells of memory for Pontius Pilate. But it is, they say, well, you weak-kneed old spineless, indecisive jellyfish. You couldn't make up your mind or take a definite stand. And yet, we cannot point to one man because that same obligation is about every one of our hearts. Hallelujah. And oh, what a change. You know, sister, do you believe that had he accepted Christ, or if I accept Christ tonight, my life will be really, visibly changed? Oh, I know it. Absolutely. The moment that Christ comes into your light, the light shines on. But where is Pilate tonight? The tale of two cities. Christ speaks to the land of tomorrow. whenever the sun shines. He speaks of the light that is gone out forever. You see, well, Sister McPherson, you don't believe in a real hell. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I do. You say, no, you're a modern woman. You read, you travel, you listen to your radio. Oh, brother, I wish to God I didn't believe in hell. I read my Bible through. I read what other ministers have said who were against hell. And I've read Russell, and I've read different people. But still, hell is there. And it's forever and forever. And it burneth and seareth deeper than any fire perhaps could ever do. My Lord, if only hell could be wiped out of the Bible, I'd say, come on, let's all take a vacation. I can think there's interesting things to do, there's lovely places to go. But men and women, there is a heaven and it's all joyous. There is a hell and it's all fearful. The people there in the chains of bondage can never move away. Ever soon up for the fire to recede and again to cast up. He said, well, they'll have no conscience. Said, oh, yes, they will. Christ said of the rich man in hell, he looked up and saw paradise. He saw the beggar in Abraham's bosom and recognized the both of them. He had a voice and he could speak and he said, send Lazarus to give me water, water, water. He had feelings, feelings that could move, feelings that could stir, feelings. My God, he said, it's too late now. Tonight, it is not too late. Boys and girls here tonight, young people listening in, those whose feet would naturally trend toward evil, know this, it is not easy to be good. You can never do it in yourself. You need Jesus Christ. You are as easy for man to sin as for sparks to fly upwards from a fire. And here is the end. You say, well, Sister MacPherson, I don't believe it. That a real God of love would make hell for man. He never did. It was made for the devil and his angels. And it's very hard to get to hell, in a way. All you have to do is plug up your ears and don't listen to the church bells. Have the Bible read to you and say, oh, I don't want to listen to that. Let the preacher or the choir or the usher or the worker or someone beside you say, won't you come to the altar tonight? Come on. Let's come up and definitely as a nation and as a state and as a city and as a community, let's all come up and confess the Lord our Savior. No, not tonight. Some other time. Oh, yes, just go over all these barriers. Over all the stop signals. Over all the red lights, you have to drive right straight through them and say, I will not. Friends, it's easy to be saved. Because, you see, you don't do anything, but just give yourself to God, and He does the rest. Through the precious transforming quality of the blood of His only begotten Son, who gave His life that men might be redeemed. Amen? How many believe that the blood of Jesus saves from all sin and cleanses? I'd like you an amen. It'll ring out of a radio land. Amen. Now, tell you, when you have that blessed assurance in you, the tale of two cities can bring only the joy of a heaven above. Glory to God, you know that you're destined for that city. You know that you're on your way to view the land. I thought through my number of acquaintances in the Bible, I call them my acquaintances, I preached upon them ever since I was in my teens, and I studied them ever since I was a wee little bit of a girl. Got to understand, I was taking the meeting in church when I was 6 weeks old. I don't remember that time. Though they say I sang with the choir and did really well for 6 weeks. That's exactly what they said, but, well, anyway, something to that effect. I made as much noise as the choir. 6 weeks old. I've been brought up in church. My whole life has been wrapped around it. Yeah, I've looked at the other side. I've watched men and women play. I've watched them with the sands tripping through their fingers and lights, hours going by. I've preached the Word of God in gambling halls. I preached the Word of God in dance halls. I was just thinking as I smiled there one night in Winnipeg, Manitoba, how many dance halls I preached in one night. The exact number is quite the number. Can you remember how many it was? I have given the number out. One after the other. The one was a tremendous dance hall, the Alhambra, the first in which I spoke. And then from one to the other, and to add to the permission of the management, stood up and gave everyone a call to come out the next night to church. And I wound up about 2 o'clock in the morning in a great restaurant where the dancers had come out to eat before going home. And they're else go back to dance till daylight, I don't know which. And I asked if I could even stand up there and speak for the Lord. The man said, well, yes, if you can make yourself heard. So I stood up on the chair, and I said, just a moment, everyone. Oh, I'll tell you, I had a big time preaching there. I was trying to say God so loved this world, and those waiters, they were one couple boys there, they were made good preachers. They could talk louder than I. They said, ham and eggs, turn them over easy. And I'd be saying, repent, sir, you shall all likewise serve. Medium steak, make it medium to well, and the organ go over my head. I tell you, I'm preaching in some strange places, preaching on ships, preaching in the dining rooms of trains as they go by, gathering the folks together everywhere to hear the word of God. Beloved, I know there are two cities. I've stood by deathbeds, I've stood by in the joyous and the saddest moments of life, and I know. And out of the many who believed in God, I've chosen one whom I hope will meet with your approval, too, although he is a saint of the Old Testament days. I thought he would represent all of us who believe in Christ and are men and women of prayer, Daniel. He was brought to the Lord's temple when he was 5 years of age. He was fearless. He was bold to believe in God, yet he was humble and obedient. Truthful in his accounting and his business administration, was unspotted and unselfish, utterly. Yet, when finally he was told he must be cast into the den of lions, he had no fear, because he knew that God would be with him. Someone had raised the question, I understand, in a camp meeting some time ago. They said, Pastor, them lions wasn't as big as our lions today, was they? And the colored pastor said, no, sir, I guess they weren't exactly. He said, that was, you know, B.C. lions. Well, what's that B.C. mean? He said, that B.C. means before circus days, lions. They weren't so big. But they had the same lions, the same size temptation, the same size of testing in those days as now. And I believe we need men and women of the same size courage as Daniel. We need them in America tonight. We need them in our high places of office tonight. And we need them deeply within our hearts. Daniel. The king said, oh, Daniel, I've signed the decree. You must be put in the den of lions. So is your God able to deliver you. Daniel said, I cannot say whether he will deliver me or not. But whether he delivers me or whether he does not, I'll obey him anyhow. Oh, God, give us courage such as that. If he delivers me, amen. If he doesn't deliver me, amen. How many of you would have the courage to stand as Daniel did? Oh, sister, I think that was the bravest thing. Then why don't you stand? Well, if I was threatened with lions, I said, brother, you are threatened with lions. Of a different sort. With men and women and boys and girls, oh, come on. Come down the cocktail road. Come down the dance hall road. Come down the worldly lane of Gaiety City. Brother, it takes real boys and real girls, real men, real women, all the youth of America is called to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Say, well, if I perish, I perish. If I live, well and good, but I have made my choice like Daniel of old, I will stand for the Lord. In the morning, you remember, the king came out to Daniel's place of imprisonment, and he caused the doors to be taken off from the top of the cave in which Daniel had been lowered. And he said, oh, Daniel, hello down there. Are you still alive? Why, those lions could have broken every bone in the body of Daniel, but God. I like those words, don't you? But God had sent his angel and had given the lion's lockjaw. Locked up lion's mouth. I seen the day I wish that the Lord would lock everybody's lying jaws. But anyhow, perhaps
We all have to stand in our own particular little den of lions for a while. Now, we may come all purified in the morning. That's the big point, isn't it? That's what really counts. And he cried up joyfully, "Oh, Master! Oh, King! Have no fear! I am saved!" Thank God they pulled him up out of that lion's den. Then, do you know that Jesus is coming back to this world again? Do you know that he's coming in the clouds of glory? And that by the Holy Spirit, the people of church will be caught up to meet him? And we may be in a den of lions now, but the real world war hasn't broken loose yet, I don't think. I understand, yes, his headlines, Lloyd George said the real war, but I'm not over there, of course, but I don't think, according to the Bible, the real fury of this blast has come yet. Surely people are waiting their time for spring and waiting, feeling out the enemy like shadow boxing. Friends, listen, when Daniel was caught up, type of the Christians going up in the rapture, you know, which is with the king. Those who accused him were all cast into the den. And then there was no locking of lions' jaws, and no plugging of cannons' mouths or submarines. They lined open their jaws and crushed every bone in these people's bodies before they reached the floor. There's going to be a time of real tribulation. I want to be with Jesus, don't you? When that comes, thank God, but there's going to be a day of reckoning some of these times. Someone said, "Well, sister, I'm afraid that I can't afford to be a Christian. I would have to give up too much." What peculiar reasoning. You cannot afford not to be a Christian. You can't afford not to be. You know, it gives you happiness here. Don't you think I look happy? Every year I feel younger and happier and more encouraged in the Lord. Well, I feel pretty important myself. I'm not a Christian, but they're there. Now listen, men who pray much don't bray much. B-R-A-Y. If they pray, they don't bray. Isn't that true? And we're humbling ourselves before God. In prayer, not condemning one another. You know, the Bible tells us to forgive those who have ought against us. Someone has said, if you must publish the sins of other people, and I know how you enjoy doing that, publish your own first. Before you publish the faults of anyone else, publish, call up the editor and say, "I want you to run this before the paper. I did so-and-so." Publish your own sins first. How about that, brother? Good idea, isn't it? Amen. Lord, let the glory fall as we preach your word. And steadily as the Christian kneels in prayer with Daniel of old, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. It has been said that the man upon his knees sees a great deal more than the man on horseback. The uplook is so much greater than the downlook. Friends, if the world seems topsy-turvy, why not stop looking down and look up? Amen. After all, you know, this life is very short. It's like the passing of a leaf from a tree in a fall breeze. But eternity lasts for always. No other nations are really looking to America. They really are. Now, our president has decreed that we be given a whole week of Thanksgiving. Many will be observing here up till next Thursday night. And I think it's marvelous that our nation is called to still give thanks to God. Friends, we give thanks altogether too rarely. Isn't that so? I was telling the other night that the mailman told me that there's thousands of letters at Christmas reach the dead letter office addressed to Santa Claus. But only one last year came back saying thank you for presents received. Lord, help us to stand up for Jesus and come back and really shine aloud and say, "He lives. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, we shall live also." No one can depict heaven. It is a translucently beautiful jewel. It is a four-square city whose builder and maker is God. There is no night there, no hunger. No one ever had to cry for ham and eggs there. The fruit is always on the tree. The fountains never fail to ply. The perfume is ever upon the breeze. Best of all,
as none of us can illustrate this point, we must just leave the empty throne with a light to represent God. He will be there. And the sun will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. There'll be a rainbow around the throne of light. There'll be ministering angels. I read that they're going to sing. And that the sound of their voices like waterfalls. There's so many multitudinous converted people. Don't you think that heaven's going to be empty? No, sir. There's going to be an uncountable host, innumerable. And they'll all be saying, hallelujah, glory and honor and praise be unto the Lord. Woo, glory! Somebody the verse said, I don't think you folks can say amen down here. Well, too bad about you. You won't like heaven. They're going to say amen up there. You'll be just your luck to be sitting in a seat where somebody right behind you just shouts, hallelujah! Why, brother, you'll be shouting yourself when you see Jesus. Come on now. You don't want to be in the cemetery yet. You'll be there by and by if the Lord doesn't come pretty soon. But right now, let us live. Let us know Christ.
Praise the Lord.